HD Smartcast. You are listening to a Live Mint production brought to you by HD Smartcast.
Hi guys, I'm Prasad Banerjee and I write about tech at Mint.
And this is TechCetra, a podcast
where we tackle some hot topics in technology
and also
bust some myths.
So the new iPhones have launched in India and you can go buy the 12 and the 12 Pro now. Of course, you're not going to buy both. And if you are, then you're way too rich. Please go donate to the poor. Anywho. So the 12 mini and 12 Pro Max will be sold later. That's November 13th, I think the date is. Because Apple has some supply delays because of the pandemic, as do many other companies. But I did have the 12 and the 12 Pro for a few days now, so it's review time basically. And right off the bat, what I want to say is that the fact that the 12 and the 12 Pro both have OLED displays and the same design is actually awesome. I know it doesn't sound like much, but you know, last year when we had the 11 Pro and 11, and I went from sort of the 11 Pro to the 11 for review purposes, the 11 felt like a pretty big step down. Of course, if you have never seen the 11 Pro or the Pro Max, you won't really feel that. But this felt like a step down because of the fact that, you know, the 11 didn't have an OLED display. OLEDs have this quality where, you know, colors just pop, and especially when it comes to Apple's OLEDs, they're so color accurate, they're so nicely designed that when you go from like an OLED to a non-OLED display, you do see a huge difference. And in general, what it would come down to is that, you know, if you had, let's say, an 11 and your friend had an 11 Pro, you would sort of feel the difference, even though the difference wasn't as huge as it seemed, so to speak. On the 12 and 12 Pro, they look the same. They're pretty much the same size and they're pretty much the same design. And with the display, they basically look like the same phone. The primary differentiating factor, of course, is that the 12 has two cameras on the back and the 12 Pro has three. And there's also good news for all of you iPhone 5 users. The 12s all feel almost exactly like an elongated 5S. So when you were using the 5S or even the older iPhone SE, if you ever thought what would happen if you sort of elongated that phone to make the screen bigger, this is what it would be. I know those phones had metal backs and this one has a glass back, but it's sort of a frosted glass, so you know, it feels like a metallic back when you're holding it. What I would have preferred in a way is a more chamfered finish to the edges, because right now the edges are really sharp, so they sort of dig into your hands, you know, and at least in the beginning till you get used to the phone, it'll be a little uncomfortable. When you get a call, you put it on your ear, it will feel a little uncomfortable. But of course, these are minor issues and you will get around them very easily. The big difference, of course, is in the cameras for both the 12 and the 12 Pro. Now, the lenses and the sensors are mostly the same, but they do have faster apertures this time and they allow slightly more light inside, so there will be better low light. But I think the most important change is that Apple's night mode, which is a software feature, is now part of all of their iPhone 12 series. This is something they hadn't done earlier. Not all iPhones had the night mode. It kicks in automatically, and personally I do really like Apple's night mode. It does a very good job as long as you have still subjects. The only problem is that it's slightly slow, and that's true for most night modes out there today. So moving subjects at night is still a problem, and this is one place where the 12 Pro will do slightly better, because the 12 Pro uses an extra LiDAR sensor, that's light detection and ranging. It's a very common sensor used for augmented reality. So the 12 Pro uses that sensor to increase focusing speed in low light at night. And in practical usage, since I have tried the 12 and 12 Pro next to each other, I can tell you that it does make a difference. The 12 Pro's LiDAR does make focusing at night faster, and it does make a difference. So yeah, if you really care about the camera that much, you probably will get more out of the 12 Pro. But Apple's actual camera boosts are coming on the Pro Max, which is their real pro camera, so to speak. Now, I'll spare you most of the technical details, and I can tell you this. If you have a 11, 11 Pro, 11 Pro Max, then the upgrade in the cameras and the phone also is kind of little. And that's something that we've come to expect from phones nowadays, especially from Apple phones, because Apple phones do last much longer. You technically don't need to change them every year. And Apple also does not expect you to change them. So if you have an 11, 11 Pro, 11 Pro Max, even the 10R, you can hold on to them right now. I'm not saying these cameras are not better, they are, but for most people, those cameras do suffice. In fact, even if you're buying a new phone in India, the 10R, the 11 and all are cheaper. So it's likely that people will buy that. And don't worry, you will not be making a big compromise. Of course, newer is better, but you will not be making a big compromise. And we must remember that the biggest thing with the iPhones this time is the fact that they are 5G capable. So, which is why you will often see global reviews saying that this is the upgrade year, this is when everybody will upgrade. But that's because 5G is coming to those countries slowly and slowly. It's not there yet. It's not like US has 5G everywhere either. But they do have 5G at some places. However, in India, we will not have 5G for at least one more year, if not more. So you could spare the expense for a 5G phone right now. In fact, if you do buy the iPhone 12, you won't even see the 5G option in India right now. And that is because our carriers don't support it. What will happen is, if you happen to go to US or somewhere where a carrier is supporting 5G, the option will show for you. Which basically means that for people who travel a lot, this might still make sense, but where are you gonna go during a pandemic, right? That's pretty much all there is to know about the new iPhones. But there's one last thing that we have to talk about. The MagSafe charger. If you've used the older Macs, Apple invented the MagSafe thing long ago. It basically uses magnets to charge the devices instead of, you know, ports and everything. They sort of stick on. And they're easier in a way. But Apple has also removed the charging adapter from the iPhone box now, which a lot of people do not like. But Apple's reason for it, the fact that it's more environmentally sound, it's actually correct. It does help make the whole manufacturing process more environment friendly. Having said that, it would have been believable if Apple wasn't selling these MagSafe chargers separately. Now, the new MagSafe charger that Apple has is pretty much, if you've seen the Apple Watch charger, which is like this cable with a round, you know, round ending to it, which is where the Apple Watch sticks. The new MagSafe charger is sort of a larger version of that. And it does solve one big problem with wireless charging. The fact that many wireless chargers require you to place the phone in a specific way so that it charges. And sometimes when we're in a hurry, we just place it wrong and we realize that later when it's already too late. In the MagSafe charger, it just sticks on. So basically, you will never get it wrong. It will always start charging. Having said that, it's also quite slow. I have a Pixel Stand, I have a generic Amazon Basics charger, and of the three, the Pixel Stand is the fastest, the MagSafe charger is second, and the Amazon Basics one is the slowest. So if you're charging your phone overnight, it's fine, the MagSafe charger works, but if not, there is going to be a problem. Also, people really need to tell Apple to put bigger wires. The wire on the MagSafe charger is barely anything. So for many people, you know, when you try to put this on, say, a nightstand or something, it will be a problem because the wire may not be long enough. Additionally, you must note that the MagSafe charger also does not come with an adapter. So it has USB-C on one side and the other side, of course, is the magnetic cable. And the fact that this sticks on but the wire is not long enough could be a bigger problem. So imagine if this is on your nightstand. There's a good chance that it will sort of just reach above your nightstand. Now your phone is sticking to it, and it sticks pretty well. By chance, if you know a pull happens on the wire or something and it falls down, your phone is gonna fall down with it. And it's not a very uncommon scenario if you really think about it. So essentially, there's good and bad about MagSafe. What we can see is that Apple essentially thinks that this is how things will charge in future. And I don't disagree. phone makers have considered removing all ports from phones. It will save them space inside the phone, it will cut some costs. So they have considered it, and with MagSafe, Apple has shown that there can be accessories. For example, they have that wallet accessory. There can be other accessories that can be done with MagSafe, which is a good thing. And the fact that it sticks on also means that, you know, you can have these being built in by others. So for example, tomorrow IKEA can say, I built a MagSafe charger inside my desk. So when you sit down on the desk, you just sort of put your phone on the desk and it sticks, instead of you having to place it very carefully in a particular position. And there are places in the world where things like this have happened. For example, Starbucks had started putting wireless charging on all their tables in some other countries right after Apple started supporting Qi wireless charging. The MagSafe also is the Qi standard, so you could technically charge your old iPhone 11 with the MagSafe as well. It won't stick the same way the iPhone 12 does, but it will charge, and it will charge slowly. So, to round up, iPhone 12 series, good, definitely good, and that's not a surprise. In India though, it could be a hard sell because they're still expensive. They still cost nearly a lakh. The 12 of course is slightly cheaper, but it's still not cheap. What they have done is that they've brought down the prices of the 11 and the 10R and so on and so forth. And a lot of analysts do say that, you know, it's the 11 and 10R that will continue selling. So it is gonna be a hard sell in a way, because it's not a big upgrade. If you're buying a new iPhone this year and you have the money to afford the newest iPhone out there, sure, go ahead. If not, you won't make a very big compromise with some of the older models as well. Honestly, for me, the one I like the most is the iPhone 12 mini, and I'm really waiting for it because I really like small phones. But I don't see anybody else who will be really compelled to buy the new iPhones in India.
So that's it for today. I shall be back this very week with another segment where I take on some misconceptions about technology. Until then, tell me what you want me to cover. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Undertaker. Yes, you heard that right. It's UNDERTECHER. Or you can write to me at podcasts@hindustantimes.com. Talk to you next time.
This was a Live Mint production, brought to you by HD Smartcast.
HD Smartcast.